Thank you for joining us for the Temple Baptist Church podcast. This message was originally recorded on May 20th, 2007. Today's message will be delivered by our pastor, Scott Perry, who's preaching on protecting your mind from evil, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
Listening to Don sing that song, he and I had a brief conversation on the porch earlier this week, and just talking about the battle for the mind and the struggles that we all face. I didn't know he was going to sing that song, and he didn't know I was going to preach this sermon, but obviously God did. Your mind is an incredible instrument that God has blessed you with. It has the ability to store, according to scientists, 100 trillion thoughts. That's amazing, given the fact that you can't remember why you went into the kitchen in the first place. The mind is a tool that God wants to use to direct the life of the individual. And it is for that reason that Satan works so diligently to distract your thoughts, to control your mind, knowing that ultimately in doing so, he will control your life. There's a book by a man named Jack Trout and Al Reese. It's called Positioning, The Battle for Your Mind. And the book primarily talks about advertising. But there's one phrase that comes from that book that Jack Trout states. He says, "The fact is, there are people intentionally planning 24 hours a day to get your attention." I believe that. I believe that there are people planning 24 hours a day to gain the attention and the thoughts of those in this world. But I believe that they are not the only ones. I believe that there are forces of evil. I believe that there are spiritual powers at work as well. And they too do not sleep. And they are working to control the thoughts of every individual, especially of those of the faith. Because they can no longer capture your soul, but if they can capture your mind, you will be of little good to the kingdom. We must be choosy. We must be careful. We must be cautious about what goes into the mind. And so what I want to offer you today are five simple things that can help you to protect your mind from evil. That is the title of this message. And the foundation verse that we will use is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 5. Protecting your mind from evil is essential. How do we do it? 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us how. It says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive that it may be forced, conscripted, to obey Christ. I can remember as a young parent, my children, but also talking to other parents and hearing stories about their children coming into the room at night, unable to sleep, and saying things like this: "I can't go to sleep because I had a bad thought." I heard it from my children. I heard it from other people's children. What does that mean? That means there was something gnawing at their mind, something either unresolved or something that caused them fear or something that they couldn't really grasp or understand, and therefore they were insecure. And so that bad thought was keeping them from rest, it was keeping them from peace, and it was keeping them from sleep. And so they would come in, and I would always ask my kids, you know, well, what is the thought you're having? Tell me about it. What is it that you're thinking? Because I'm thinking to myself, you know, you just woke me up from a sound sleep, so now I'm having some bad thoughts myself. And inevitably, it would be something that caused them fear. Fear is a paralyzing emotion. And once it takes hold, it causes the mind to run amok so that we begin to imagine. We begin to formulate things that don't exist. Molehills become mountains quickly, and problems become insurmountable, inevitably. The mind also has the ability to run away in the other direction. We become so captivated by a thought or some thought relative to an experience or a person that we begin to fantasize about that thought. And we begin to fantasize about that experience or that person or whatever. And that fantasy is not real. It's not based in any kind of authority. And yet it starts to run away. And it so captivates and captures the mind that we can't think of anything else. So often we have this fantasy that life is going to be better over here or with that or with this or if I just achieve. And you fill in the blank. And yet life's the same. It's not going to get any better if you don't get any better. Fantasizing about things and then becoming so fixed on it. I was standing in line at a gas station in St. James on Friday. I was going to buy a bottle of water, and the man in front of me was paying for his gasoline, and he asked the clerk, "What is the Powerball up to?" She turned and walked over to the back of the register area, and she came back and said, "It's 59. I didn't know what 59 meant. He said, "59? No, that's pretty good. Give me 2 Powerball tickets." I later learned that means it's 59 million. Is that the payout, 59 million? I also learned that the chances of winning the Powerball, the $59 million, are like 150 million to one. I don't know what he paid for the tickets. I wasn't paying attention. I was just sitting there thinking to myself, dude, would you get out of the way? You're wasting my time with Powerball tickets and gambling while I need to buy my water and go. I just paid $3.19 a gallon for gasoline. And then to aggravate an already aggravating situation, I paid like $8 a gallon for that stupid bottle of water. I could have cupped my hands in the bathroom and drank out of the faucet, but you know, On his way out, he says to the guy, someone he knew, I guess, who was in line behind me, "If I win, I'll buy you dinner." I thought, dinner? $59 million? You buy me a house, okay? Fantasy. Now, how fixated was he on it? Well, probably not nearly as much as some people. I've seen some people come in and buy those tickets and then stand there at the counter off to the side and scratch them off or whatever they do. And, I saw one lady come in holding a rabbit's foot while she purchased her ticket. I thought, that's not going to work. You got to stand on one leg, you know? Then it'll work. Fantasy. Protecting the mind from what is not real is just as important as protecting the mind from deception and sinful capture that leads us into obvious breakdown. Helping us to stay grounded, helping us to stay focused, helping us to stay instrumental and useful in the work of God is what it means when we destroy these arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And then we take captive every thought so that it obeys Christ. The Bible is very specific then, and at least five things can help us to guard and protect the mind from evil. The first one is we need to guard our minds against false teaching. We need to watch out for errors in doctrine that divert us from the truth. Jude chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints." You cannot protect your mind from doctrinal falsehood if you don't know doctrinal truth. That is why Bible study and that is why being grounded in the faith is so critical and so important. It requires only minor changes to the truth of God's Word in order to pervert those doctrines and lead us astray. And generally, Satan will not come in and cause you to take an about face or do a U-turn. He simply wants to veer off the path, gradually but intentionally. Doctrinal truth is essential, and the only way you're going to know the truth is to be immersed in the truth, to become so familiar with the truth that you will recognize falsehood immediately. Guard your mind against false teachings. Know the truth. If you know the truth, it's easy to spot a lie. We've got to be immersed in God's Word. We've got to be filled with His truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." When you know the Word of God, then you know Jesus Christ. The Bible isn't optional for the believer. It's essential. The Bible is not something that we add to life. It is, in fact, the direction and the fulfillment for life. God's Word isn't something that you can take or leave. How many times have we said, "I just didn't have time to read my Bible today"? How is it that you have time for other things that couldn't be nearly as weighty, nearly as important, or nearly as significant, and yet we do not have time for the Word of God? Even hearing it said out loud causes us to feel the ridiculousness of a statement like that. One man said that God's Word is always true and it hasn't changed. The Bible teaches us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he responded by saying, "If it's new, it's not true." When it comes to doctrine, I believe that is the case. While we can, in fact, find many different expressions for the truth and applications as time goes on and as life alters along the way, the very foundation and the basis upon which that life is built and our understanding is given must never change. And so he teaches us clearly. He teaches us clearly to guard our minds against false teaching. Secondly, we are to guard our minds against temptation. Listen to what it says in Psalm 101, verse 3. "I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless." Let that sink in a minute. Read it again. Picture it on a plaque, and now nail that to your television set. What you see very quickly is if you want to guard your mind against temptation, you're going to have to be actively engaged in the process. If you think God is going to shield you from everything that is going to tempt you, you're wrong. What God is going to do is to improve your ability to stand firm and to strengthen your resolve to be committed to Him, but you will have to exercise good sense along the way. This is not only a good verse to put on the television, but to put on your dashboard or to put in your library or to put wherever so that you are not distracted by the things that destroy. In Psalm 101, he is teaching us a commitment from his heart. "I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless." That means that we make the decision of what is and is not worthless, and we make the decision of what we will and will not engage in. A.W. Tozer is the one who coined the phrase that America has lost its ability to blush, and certainly that is true. There is very little that causes us to feel those emotions any longer. There is very little that is hidden from view. If we're going to guard our minds, we must be careful about what we watch, especially as it leads to temptation, about what we give ourselves to, what we linger over. Sin starts with a thought, but when you sow a thought, you will ultimately reap an action. When you sow an action, you will reap a habit of life. And that habit, if sown deep within, can ultimately destroy. And it all began with a tempting thought. So when we start to feel tempted, it is a good practice, guarding your mind against temptation, to again remind yourself that the Bible teaches us to put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the brain. It protects the mind. Ephesians 6:17 reminds us, put on the helmet of salvation. You have been set apart. You have a purpose and a direction for your life. You are different now and have been changed. So He encourages us to live out of the changes that we have experience. Third, we are to guard our minds against counterfeit spiritual experiences. Guard your minds against counterfeit spiritual experiences. Those who do not do this are those who end up in a cult. Galatians 1:8 says this, "Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed." He makes it very clear that anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ is unacceptable. Spiritual experiences come when people say things like this, "God told me to do this." You ever said that? "God spoke to me." I'm not denying that He did, and I do believe that He does. But let me caution you. When someone comes to me and says, "God told me to do this, but the Bible says don't do that," who do you think I'm going to believe? You or the Bible? Not you. And neither should you. You should not believe what is boiling up within you if it is contrary to what God has spoken to you. The Bible is very clear and it is very specific. And it teaches us in no uncertain terms. But when we allow emotions, when we allow the influence of others, or when we allow ignorance to take precedent over truth, then we are no longer guarding our minds against counterfeit spiritual experiences. Just because it happens in church, just because it happens under the guise of spirituality, just because it has some religious connotation, does not make it true. False teachers are everywhere, and false experiences soon follow, and they can be powerful and at times even more so than the true experiences that God has called us to. And we must guard the mind against that which is counterfeit. Be sure that what God says to you and your interpretation of it is consistent with the Bible. Many times the movements of the Holy Spirit that we assign to Him, at least, may be inspired by evil, and you simply haven't recognized it as such. Or it may have come from the bad pizza that you ate last night. I don't know. But I do know you must be cautious, you must be careful, and you must guard your mind against counterfeit spiritual experiences. Guard the mind against pride. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He may exalt you." Pride goes before the fall. The Bible teaches us clearly. We have seen that pride was the reason that Satan fell from heaven. Pride was the reason that Adam and Eve sinned against God. Pride was what resulted in the destruction and death of many people down through the ages, because they were so prideful and so filled with their own self-determination and self-will that they no longer listened to God, and their minds were consumed with this pride until ultimately they led to destruction. We are tempted many times because of our desire to control the situation or to be in charge or to bring attention to ourselves or whatever the motivation may be. We have the misunderstanding that if we remain in control, that everything will be okay. The fact that you are in control should be the first indicator that it's not okay. The only way that we ever remain in a place of security and safety is to remain in a place of humility and dependence upon God. Guard your mind against pride. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, and He will lift you up in the appropriate time. And then fifth, guard your mind against being overworked. You need to guard against an overworked mind. You have the ability to switch off your thoughts. Some people do. Some of us don't. If you're one of those who can, just know that those of us who cannot envy you. I don't have that ability. If you can lay down at night and within 2 or 3 minutes go to sleep, I think that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I can't do that. I lay down at night and maybe I go to sleep within 15 minutes, and the way I do that is I read. People are always giving me books because I say something about, you know, I read at night every night before I go to bed for 15 to 30 minutes usually. And they'll say, well, read this or read that. No, I can't read a lot of the things that people want me to read because they're heavier or thought-provoking. I only read fictional stuff. You know, that's why I talk about some of the fiction books, because I read so many of them. But I read them at night. Why? Because they're not real. That's why. I don't read dramatic stories, not even fictional drama. You got to remember that my life is mostly drama every day. Your drama or my drama or some created drama that comes along. It's this crisis or that crisis. It's this emergency or that emergency. It's this deadline or that deadline. I don't need more drama. That's why I can't go to sleep in the first place. So I read something that's distracting, something that's fictional, something that's not real. Same thing with movies. I don't ever go see dramatic movies. Oh, but it really moved me. I don't want to be moved anymore. I've been moved all I can stand. I want to escape for a moment or laugh. I used to would go to movies that were comedies because they made me laugh. Now it seems like the comedies are just stupid. Yeah? And yet I see other people laughing at them, and I don't know if I'm missing it or what, you know? I'm not sure. My kids tell me I'm just old. I can accept that. I may be old. That's still stupid. What is it that helps you to switch off? Well, I don't know, but I do know that when the mind becomes overworked, usually it's self-imposed. It isn't because somebody else has done something to you or put more on you than you're able to bear. Nobody can put more on you than you're able to bear because they can't put anything on you that you're not willing to accept. If it's on you, it's because you took it. And if you took it, you're responsible for it. If it's too much, then quit taking it. Stop piling it up. Start finding a positive way to deal with that. Don't let your mind become so consumed with the effort to try to perform for everybody around you that you fall apart. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Sweet rest and peace. I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28 then encourages us and helps us and teaches us. It reminds us that in Christ, we have freedom from that oppression of a busy and hectic thought life. If you want to change the way you live, change first the way you think. And if you want to change the way you think, begin now to take the steps necessary to protect the mind God has given you. It was said a long time ago in an effort to raise education among African Americans that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. It was true then. It is true today. But there are ways to waste a mind other than failing to educate it properly. A mind can be wasted when that mind is consumed with evil, are controlled by the flesh, are led to prideful destruction, are distracted from the truth. Protect your mind. There are those working 24 hours a day to get your attention. And in the midst of all of that hectic craziness is the still, small voice of God who calls to you and says this, I love you. I sent my Son to die for you. I want to forgive you and welcome you into my family. I want to give you the security of knowing that you will spend eternity in heaven with me. Listen to the simple voice of God. He's calling you.
I want to thank you once again for joining us for our podcast today. Remember that you can find past and future podcasts on our website. Just go to www.tbcsullivan.com. There you will also find directions to our church, church service times, and other information as well. If you'd like to contact us, leave us a comment, or give us a suggestion of some sort, you can email us. Just send an email to tbc@tbcsullivan.com.